Hey everyone, it's the Some of You show on Universal Energy Radio. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. It's like you didn't know that. Well, you did.
Hello.
You did. Hi, my love. You did tell me that there was somebody in the queue, so shall we take care of them first?
Let's do that first, yes.
Okay, cool.
All right, Erica 850, good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Oh, wow, I didn't expect to get on this soon. My name is Michelle, and I think this is the first time I've called your show.
I love it. See, you never know what's going to happen. It definitely is, Michelle, because we would know. So, but love the energy. Like, that's terrific. So, two quick things. Can you give Alisa your date of birth? She doesn't need the year. She just needs the month and the day, please.
October the 14th.
Okay, great. And then we're going to just ask for permission to connect to your energy, please.
Okay.
Okay, so what's going on?
Well, I just want to see what kind of insights you see for 2018. Wanted to see if there was any type of events or anything that's going on, and I guess I kind of had a particular question, and I guess
it.
I hope I ain't saying too much. Do you see when my house might be transferred into my name, the house that I live in now? And
No, that's very interesting because you started off being so general. You're using the word any type of event, any type of situation.
I guess I want to know too much.
No. I disagree. But those are very broad strokes, Michelle.
Uh-huh.
So any could be any. You know, when somebody says, oh, you know, I want my man, well, is he a serial killer or does he have a job? So it's you know what I'm saying, because they're out there. So it's about just having enough self-regard to get into specific detail, or at least general detail. Because you say any, that leaves yourself up to any could be, you know, scary and traumatic. I don't think we want, life gives us enough scary and traumatic situations. So,
I guess I sometimes wonder, you know, what spiritual messages come through.
Well, that's an entirely different question.
Oh, okay. Right? Well, I guess a specific one is, when do you see the house that I live in now, when do you see it being transferred into my name?
What I mean by specific question was what you said before about what message is going to come, what message is there. That's what I meant by specific, as opposed to do you see anything? As opposed to when is this particular document going to come through? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to meet you right in the middle. I want to meet you right in the middle. And I think Alisa probably had enough time to make a calculation. So actually, I'm going to turn this over to her, and I may come back on this.
Okay, sweetie.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah. From your birthday, you entered into a number 7 personal year. And what's interesting, because the types of questions you're asking, it kind of lends itself to that. 7 is very introspective. So this period of time from your birthday, last October to your birthday, this upcoming October, we're looking at a lot of things that you're just sort of wanting to bring up now. Like you're doing a lot of inner work, or hopefully you are. I think having this kind of conversation where you're asking questions, and what's interesting is we're asking at certain points, like how specific are you wanting to get, which we can only do so much, but the process in getting to that, because as Liz was saying, it's going from, I don't know, usually the first question is usually not the the main question. It's just kind of like a starter question. Like, well, let me just put this out there because I'm not sure yet what it is I'm looking for in this specific moment. And that's what this period of time, the seven energy is about. It's like refining what it is you actually want to do and what you want to experience. And a lot of that's tied into what you think you deserve. And not just physical stuff or stuff, you know, but also, you know, how you want to be treated. If you listen to this podcast again, if you have a chance to download it, you'll notice the way the conversation kind of fluxes. It's like, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. And then it goes through a bit of transformation and refinement, because there's a lot of questions that we in turn will ask you. But that's okay. So don't be afraid of that. It's helping you be a little more mindful of what in this present moment is the most important thing. It's asking you to prioritize so that you can focus your energy into the task at hand. And that, you know, so that may take, you know, a few minutes, it may take a day or however long, but when you think you're done, you've done all you can do on that, then you ask another question and you go into the next thing. So this seven energy is a good combination. Most of that work is internal, until it's time to bring it out, until it's time to share it with other people or do what you need to do in your everyday life to put the energy out there and to act in a particular way that you know is true to who you are and beneficial to what you're wanting to do. So when I'm looking at something like a 7 year and you're looking at, you know, when is stuff going to transfer, like the house, all that stuff. What's interesting is I'm a very practical person. I'm like, well, what kind of work has been done? Have you done all you can do in the process, like the paperwork? Oh, this is all practical stuff right now. Have you done everything you can do to put it out there and to uphold your end of the bargain, whatever was supposed to happen? Because there's only so much you can do on your end, and the rest of it is really on the rest of the process, whether if there's a legal stuff that has to happen, if there's other institutions that need to look at it, if there's an approval process. So some of it's just like, well, it's just a matter, we say just a matter of time. But if you've done everything that you're supposed to do in terms of playing that game.
Yeah, good. I felt that you have. I don't mean to jump in. I rarely get specific. But what happens is when Elisa is talking, I'm listening, but I'm more than listening. I'm just really kind of connecting. Elisa will tell you this, because this is the first time that you're talking to us. I rarely do this, rarely. But as I was listening, I'm getting like toward the end of March.
In the March.
But don't quote me. Don't quote me. I'm just reporting the news. Okay, Elisa, I'm going to give it back. Bye.
So normally there's, especially with something like this, when it's all, you know, legal and that kind of stuff, there's a process. And sometimes, as we know, it can take a little longer. It just depends on what's happening. But the thing is, and it's something for all of us to be reminded, is that if you've taken the steps you need to take and then you've released it, like you can't, you know, bring it back and try to control it. And we spend a lot of our time wondering, you know, what is going to happen. And so that's the trap I want you to kind of get out of. If it's just a passing question, that's fine. Because I want you to be reassured. If you know you've done everything you can do on your end, then you just have to trust and let that take its process and its due course. The trick for you is to not look at the fact that it hasn't happened, you haven't received any word yet, because where your focus is on basically a lack of getting confirmation or a lack of getting that paper in your hand. And what you want to keep in mind is that I put everything in all my energy into getting this happen the way it's supposed to happen. You know, if the transfer is all legit, if it's not, you'll know. If there's anything that needs to be done on your end, you'll know, and hopefully you will know. But I would say, especially it's a new year for everybody. And you have probably other stuff that you're looking at and other projects. So just be sure that you're not focusing on the waiting part for something that you've, I don't know if you cook, but if you're making a big meal, there's a lot of stuff you're doing. You can't be waiting for that one, for the soup to finish. If you've got a main course, you're also trying to do, right? You've got
right.
to trust that. Okay, I put my stuff together. Let the soup do the soup thing that it does on the stove. Let me go. I've got other stuff. I'm actually, because it's a whole thing. So, but if you're looking at the soup and waiting for the soup to finish before you can really pay good attention to everything else, all you got is soup. You don't have the rest of the meal. So don't you know, treat your life that way. You could be almost too focused on one thing and not know when to let it go and let it do its thing, let it grow, let it unfold. A lot of times we're not going to see that whole process because we're not directly involved. We're not that in control of all that stuff. And that's a good thing because you know what? You got the rest of your life to live. You got the rest of the day to do stuff and to enjoy, to remind yourself why you're alive. Because bigger picture, getting this house is one thing, but then what are you going to, think about the things you're going to do with the house. You know, what else are you going to do? It's one step in a process of your life. So it's knowing when to focus and then when to focus on something else that actually brings you that feel-good feeling that I'm feeling very accomplished, I'm doing a good job. It's just being very mindful of that. So your direction, your focus isn't just on something that hasn't happened yet because there's nothing else you can do.
Right. Right. She's absolutely right. And we hit you with a lot of information for a first time. So you are initiated. Congratulations. But I agree with Elisa. Everything she said, don't hold me to the end of March. I was surprised that came in. So, but I just tell people what comes in because I get visual pictures. And I, again, strongly suggest that you download the show and listen to it very carefully. Don't be distracted. Don't have the kids running around or the TV on or whatever. You know, maybe put some headphones on with your computer or your phone and listen to the show and just receive the energy with that.
Right.
And good luck to
you.
Thank you.
Let me ask you something. I don't know if you have a whole list of callers. If you didn't, I was wanting to ask another question.
Elisa runs the controls. I don't. So that's her call.
All right. Just one more question. Okay, that'd be fine.
Go ahead. One more question, girl. One more.
I just wanted to see what you see on my finances, how they're going to be this coming year.
I'm not going to answer that.
The same process. And that's why I figured if your questions are going to be kind of on that same level, it's the same process. What have you been doing? You know, it's like, what have you been doing? Have you done everything you can do? If you're not, you know, it's interesting because this is exactly what people do in their seven personal year. They're like reevaluating. They're ready to get to whatever their goals were that they put in motion, 3 years ago. So you're asking these questions, and what's interesting is we can't assess, like on a practical level, we can't assess what you've been doing, but we do know that if you continue to be distracted by what hasn't happened yet, a lot of projects are left unfinished. So finances, it's the same thing. Everybody wants their finances to improve. Even rich people want their finances to improve. So it's not that. It's not like, oh, I have enough. No one ever says that. I have enough. They say it when they're just tired. Like, I have enough. I can rest. But secretly, everybody wants their finances to improve. And whatever that means for them, it means, for some people, it means amassing a lot of money. For some people, it means the best thing I can do is play the lottery, which we know is such a tough chance to play, right? But the practical.
Oh, yeah, one in a million.
right. So obviously that can't be your only plan. if it means finances every day, you're doing something where maybe you're not spending all that extra money on the Starbucks, basically a milkshake, and knowing, well, I want to put aside X amount each day. It's something like that. You know, it's little things, but if you're asking these kinds of questions, it's part of your process of evaluating what have I been doing and what am I doing if all these things I'm doing, is it helping me get to where I say I wanted to go? And if there's anything that you know, you could probably switch that up. And it's being honest with yourself. I mean, it really is being honest with, I can't say that I want to save, you know, have all this money, but I'm actually spending it left and right on food that I really don't need. Like food, like going out to eat food versus, you know, stuff that lasts food. So there's these little tweaks that you can do. And I love it because I love that you're bringing it up because not to call you out on stuff, but it's just to show you a lot of people are looking at this stuff because it's the beginning of a new year. And a lot of people are you know, like they want to get, because if you ask about your health next, that would be kind of interesting because everyone's like, I want to be rich. I want to be healthy. Everybody wants that. And it shouldn't be just at the beginning of the year, but this is how people have been kind of sitting around for a little bit and they're wanting to do a change, but the change begins with you. So if you're asking the kinds of questions where it just takes time to see the results, let's look at that and say, all right, put your energy into doing stuff every day, and maybe look at it once a month. You know, just kind of check in. And are the steps that I'm doing, my plans for financial freedom, if I'm doing something every day, and sometimes that's such a huge thing, like the financial freedom part, sometimes it's so big that we need to break it down into something smaller to understand, all right, am I sabotaging myself, or am I actually making really good choices and being true to who I am, because I know this is going to pay off down the road. And down the road doesn't need to be so far away. It could be like, you know what, every month I got to see that I'm growing my money, or that I'm making smart choices so that I'm not in a state of perpetual debt. You know, those are things that you can actually break down in little steps. But again, the focus needs to be on, you know, what am I doing to move in that direction? And being honest with, if you're doing stuff that some habits that need to change. Like for me, and I mentioned Starbucks because it's so easy. I have the app. It's so easy to just load up that money.
It's so easy.
Every week, whenever you're running low.
It's like it's free.
Right.
We don't have a Starbucks around here.
Right. Or anything. Some people, you know, just like to spend money on their coffee because like it's part of their meal plan. Like, oh, well, I had breakfast. I got to get coffee. So, but it could be anything. It could be, we need a quick, especially if you have kids. Or grandkids or whatever, it's like, oh, we gotta get some McDonald's or something like that. But see, if you plan ahead, and I bring up cooking a lot because I like to eat. But if you bring up how are you planning to nourish yourself? I mean, in the bigger picture, that's what a lot of this is about, and not just food, but how are you nourishing yourself with everyday thoughts? How are you nourishing yourself with your movements, and you know whether it's just an exercise or just how you go about your day, you know, what's really feeding your soul, or what are you just doing to kind of give it the impression that you're feeding it, but it's really starving for actual nutrition. So these are actually bigger picture questions when you ask them, and they can be so big that you do need to break it down. So when we talk about finances. You know, finances has to do with energy. Basically, money is energy, and everybody knows if you ain't got no money, you're not going anywhere. So, you need to know the steps that you're doing to ensure. You know, whether it's I've got my steady job, and if you don't have a steady job, maybe it's a part-time job. Then, if you been putting your resume out there, or if you're creating something that you can sustain yourself. You know, whether it's being an entrepreneur. I mean, there's a lot going on. You're talking to two people who run their own businesses. And, you know, we're doing a hustle every day. So, you know, we also have those same questions. How are our finances? But the biggest thing is to break it down and say, again, what am I doing? Am I going the direction? And if you don't have a plan, that's part of the problem, is knowing what your plan is. I mean, and the plans can change. The plans can be adjusted. But if you don't have an idea of even what you have, then that's probably where I would start. And that way, you want to ask somebody else, how are my finances doing? You'll know. And that can be as practical as you can get and as spiritual as you can get.
Amen to that. And everything she said, listen to the show again. And then just as something that I think is going to be the gift with purchase with all of this, is if you really want to ask a specific question, I suggest a show that I occasionally co-host on called, I believe it's called Psychic Talk Radio with Reverend Adam Lee. I don't know when it's on. He just invites me, and when I can go on, I go on and I co-host with him. But he takes those specific questions, and he just is wired. But he is, it's a very different energy than what we do here on this show. But I'm just letting you know. I'm just letting you know about that as well. But please receive everything, especially the guidance Alisa gave you. I couldn't agree more. And when I was listening to her, it made me realize she is absolutely right. And when I shifted my focus into where I need to be in this moment and alignment, where I need to be in this moment to love myself, where I need to be in this moment to not focus on the problem, but to have the faith that a mantra, and I've been going through some very rough things lately, is I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. And that's when miracles can unfold. That's when I stopped focusing on the problem and I was focusing on faith and self-love and positive action. In the turmoil, the miracles are bearing fruit. So that's really another way of distilling what Alisa had said to you. So we hit you with a lot of stuff, so we're going to let you go. And
okay, thank you guys so much.
Yes. All right, our pleasure. Be well.
You're welcome.
Thank
good luck
you. Thank
and
you.
Keep us
thank
posted.
You.
Good luck. All right.
Uh-huh. Happy New Year, darling. Lots to think about.
Bye bye.
What's interesting is we've had a few people ask. You know, well, people call and always have a question unless they're just keeping us posted on how they've been doing.
Right.
We have a caller that usually calls in and. Sometimes when she's on the brink of feeling like it's gonna be successful, whatever project it is, there's that little bit of doubt and a little bit of frustration because she's usually comparing it to somebody else who's doing really well, famous
people like it's super
right, you know, like somebody else is doing really really well and she's asked you know, well, like, you know, how do these people, like, she's assuming they're just incredibly lucky.
Fortunate and never struggled.
Very fortunate and that nothing bad has ever happened. Like, it was just handed to them. Like, they just happened to be walking along the street one day and the opportunity came and they took it and boom, that's a success story. And we've had to remind her, you know, if you read any biography of anyone successful, there's usually all kinds of crap that happened. Whether it's a really, really rough childhood and that's what spurred them on to never be poor again, you know, to always
look at
have
Oprah.
Enough.
Right.
Yeah, Oprah, exactly. So
Oprah.
You know, you never know. Like, you see the finished product because also that's also what they're going to show you. You see all that, but and I'm sure when they share their story, it's not the whole story. Like, there's a lot more going on. Probably some really deeper, more traumatic stuff that they have to kind of write about later and they can't really just talk about it. But everybody, there's always some kind of contrast that will inspire you to say, you know, no more. I'm not willing to experience this anymore. And you've got to know what else it is you want to experience. And you have to know that you can pull yourself through. So a lot of times, when we're talking about, we're sharing our stories and you know, stuff, you can just do this and this and this. It's so interesting because it's all about the perspective. There are some people, and it depends on where you are right now. If you're listening to the show, my guess is, you know, one, you're looking for something spiritual just because you need to take your mind off something. And sometimes when you hear people on this show and some of the stories that they share, you realize, okay, in comparison, I'm actually doing okay. Because some people go through some stuff here and they share it. But when you, just depending on where you are, your story is either inspiring somebody else to do something different or it's reminding them, oh my gosh, I could probably just do exactly that too, and be because you're feeling vibrationally like that's the same situation. So if I don't snap out of it, if I don't find a way to
right.
choose something else, then I'll be in this rut. And a lot of people know what that feels like. So yeah. everybody goes to these periods where they're just, you know, they feel stuck until mm-hmm. they find something that pulls their focus from I'm just in this place to ooh,
mm-hmm.
that's what I want to do. And
yeah.
sometimes that pull is so magnetic and so
yeah.
energizing that
yeah.
that's what pulls them out. And it's
yeah.
their actions, their choice to follow and create something. Like, I don't know how to get there, but I'm going to figure out a way. That determination. So you never know. At some point, you know, we only check in and we only see like a snapshot of someone's life. And, you know, from, ooh, you're down in the dumps. And we do hope that when you call in on the show, like whatever you're feeling, that we can ramp it up a little bit. Because you'll know, you'll feel it. You'll feel, I'll feel a little bit lighter. Sometimes it's just the unburdening of
yes.
whatever is going on in your mind and being able to sort through it in a safe space. But still, you know, but ultimately the work is still up to you. Like you can,
yep.
like you can call your mom, but your mom isn't going to do anything for you. You know, you
don't I know
you
that?
You can't call your mom. You know, maybe you can't call your
mom.
A lot
of people can't.
Maybe you can only think of the energy of your mother and the spirit of your mother, you know. But whatever you need to do, know that the situation you're in is as temporary as you want it to be, or as temporary as you think you deserve it to be. And then when you realize I got to stop focusing on this, sometimes it's like I got to change the channel.
Yes,
anybody
ma'am.
Who has parents that listen to the news all the time, or just people around you that listen to the news all the time, if you're not a news person and you just realize, you know, this is just bringing me down, you either have to leave that room or you got to change the channel. So what
yep.
are you changing the channel to? Let's say you have that remote control. What would you do? Now,
yep.
some people who are, you know, would say, oh, I'd change it to, you know, my favorite TV show or the latest movie, or I'll put on Netflix. Then some people say, you know what, I'm turning it off because I'm going to go out and
yep.
do stuff. And there's no wrong answer. It's just, where are you at this moment and what will move you to the next level? And you have to be aware of what that next level feels like. And if it feels weird but better, then that's a good thing. If it feels weird and more of the same, you know, keep looking. Keep seeing where else you can move up to. And, you know, I was a speaker at a gathering, a lot of numerology. It was basically about numerology. And so we had a really good conversation. It's a great group of women. It's the woman putting it together has been working to start a wellness center called Oak Sanctuary. So she's running it out of her house right now. She has her own job. She runs her own company. It's something different, but she's wanting to transition into a wellness community.
Beautiful.
And so she's very determined. She has been doing her own company. She's in publishing, so she's
uh-huh.
been able to do that kind of remotely wherever she is. And I'm excited for her. And so she
yeah.
puts together these monthly gatherings, and she's assembled quite a few friends who are there's an acupuncturist there the other night. There are people who do psychic readings. There's a lot of different stuff happening. So I was just very honored to be asked to speak and
wow.
to have a great afternoon with this group of it was mostly women. There was one man, and the questions that they were asking, because some people did know a little bit about numerology, but it's the same kind of feeling I get. Like, well, yeah, like if you know all this stuff, what are you going to do with it? Like if you know about numerology or if you know about astrology
mm-hmm.
or, you know,
mm-hmm.
those kinds of things, if you know how to read tarot cards, what do you want to do with it? And so what are different ways to use this talent or passion And, you know, you and I talk about this on the show, like, you can't have anything be the boss of you. It's not, that's not you, right? So,
right.
Like,
right.
We could easily get locked into the shoulds and shouldn'ts of whatever we know. You know, astrology, or, you know, we all talk about Mercury retrograde. Oh, you know, don't do this during Mercury retrograde. So we can kind of get locked into to looking at life in those terms, sort of, you know, as black and white as we want it, because a lot of people want that. A lot of people like having this guidebook of, okay, how to live your life, like how to do stuff, you know, the right way. And there's reassurance in that pattern of, well, this is what everyone else does, so I guess, you know, and no one's died because of it. You know, it's almost like the worst case scenario. You know, well, they're still here, they're still, you know, they're still doing stuff. So when we get out of that survival mode and we look at what are we creating, even when we're not aware that we're creating, like, what are we creating for ourselves every day? And you have to look around and see, you know, well, here's an idea of what it is, because it's, you're living it. And if it's rough moment, rough times, there's reasons for that coming about the way it did, and you can create something from that. You create something new from that. You do it all the time. We do it all the time. But to go into these, you learn these different tools. That's just adding to the tools for your own creation. So what are you creating? If you know you're, you know, a Sagittarius, and you know that your path is a six, you know, what do you want to do with that? How would you use that to your best advantage? What are the best parts of that that you can move it forward and say, you know, own that? And being aware of maybe some of the shortcomings, because everyone's got them, you know.
Yep.
You can be the best baker and, you know, everyone loves it. Then you also weigh like 350 pounds. So, you know, you have to balance out being really good at what you do and not having it, you know, take over your life and affect you in adverse ways, and knowing that, well, that's what could happen. We are living in this spectrum of, well, it's good until it's not good, or it's bad until it's not bad. Anything you obsess about can eventually be really bad for you, because that's where all your energy is going.
Yep.
You know, that whole phrase, you know, too much of a good thing cannot be a good thing.
Right.
So all of it goes back to what are you taking in? And we always talk about this with this idea, or the relationship of yourself with your higher self, and knowing what's what at any given moment, and checking in with yourself even when you feel like crap, and realizing, because we've gone through that. I mean, I've looked in the mirror at times and thought, oh my gosh, who are you? And you know, how did it get this crazy? And those are those wake up calls when you mm-hmm. have to take a moment, or maybe a lot of moments, and regroup, whatever that means. And hopefully, for those of you listening, you have some tools that you can use. Maybe you dust it off and you start using them. And it's the best thing that you can do for yourself at a time. If you find any bit of relief, and if you've been hurting so much that you know when even just a little bit of relief feels like a lot of relief, like a big weight has been lifted, when it feels that much, and you know it's just it could be something like a smile, you know,
a nice email.
Receive,
right.
Then you receive that, and it lifts you up in any little bit of way. Then you're on your way.
Yep.
You received. Yep. There's an opening there. And so that's the nice part, is that there's that opening.
Ma'am. Yep.
If you can get it, if you can detect an opening, you can probably find another and bring that other, bring it more into this existence and realize, oh, I'm not completely blocked out here. I have blocked myself out. It's a big deal.
While you were talking, I ordered your custom vestments. I'm like, did we not go to church with this, Alisa? I just ordered, I got a lavender, you know how they have like the little the thing that they wear around the, and so I got like a lavender one. It's really cute. You're killing me. Drumming my pain. I'll tell you what. You think? Killing me softly with her words, killing me softly. Goodness. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because I'm losing my mind here, like in the most amazing way. Amen, Sister Alisa. Can we get an amen for Sister Alisa in the house? Because when you said, "Oh my God," we have not talked, and it's always in between shows. So much has happened that I feel like we haven't talked for weeks, and it's only been like a day.
Right. Right.
Oh my God. And so when you were saying, sometimes it just takes that one thing that you just say to yourself, no, no more. I will not have
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
And then that release, like the difference between 3-degree weather and 22-degree weather.
Right. Right.
Which is a very literal metaphor, okay? Like, I'm at 22, let's go to the beach. Let's go, come on.
Right.
Yes. It's beach day, 22 degrees. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So on Saturday, I co-hosted the Psychic Talk radio show with Reverend Adam Lee.
Right.
He might have changed the name because he changes. I don't know. Are you possessed? I don't know what the hell it's called. But anyway, so it was our best show yet. I had not co-hosted with him in months and forever. And
mm-hmm.
I just, like what you were saying, I just put my focus into that being my only reality. And he called me after the show. It was amazing. We went on for like an hour and a half, and it felt like 15 minutes. And apparently there were 10 additional callers waiting in the queue that we couldn't get to.
Mm.
It was crazy.
Wow.
My entire focus was just being fully present and being of service,
right.
Which really is being in service to yourself. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, you're so giving, you're so good. Yes, but you're really setting up that portal so that you can receive that shift in consciousness and that just having the opportunity for your vibration to
right.
rise. And the reason why I knew I was very last minute, like, oh, I can actually do the show, was because I had to stay in my apartment temporarily for a few hours, but I have not stayed in my apartment since January 1st, and it's devastating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I make the best out of a situation. I always do. But it's devastating for a mother to mother from a distance. You know, I come home late afternoons to make, dinner for my youngest son, spend some time, and leave before his father comes home. Like, it's just insane, and it is such a specific ache in my soul. Like, I really understand when Anna says when she's away from the kids, like, I get it,
right?
And this too shall pass. And I have one of my best friends on the planet was returning from a train trip. He's a wheelchair user and he doesn't fly. He's Mr. Amtrak. So I was to meet him at the train station to help him assist him back to his apartment, which can be in a magazine. It's so beautiful what he's done with it, and stay with him because I was doing the hotel thing, and that gets depressing after a while and it's expensive.
Right.
So, because we had 3-degree weather that day, Saturday, it was so, 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 so cold. The train arrival was delayed by like 6 hours.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
So when I was to go meet him at the station at like 5:30, it's now turning to 11 and 11:30, and the temperature is dropping.
Right.
Okay. And the high was like 8 that
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so, so cold. So I thought, well, because I'm very uncomfortable in my apartment, whether the kid's father is there or now, because the dominant energy is not mine anymore.
Right.
You can feel it. You can feel it. So I focus on whichever kid or both kids are there, do what I have to do. But it's very practical. Like, I'll do a load of laundry. I'll take a shower. I'll do this, that, and the other. I take care of the kid, and I'm out. So it's not like I am, you know, enjoying my home. I'm grateful for this place that's waiting for me to be my home, but right now it's not my home.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness, I'm with a friend that I consider family. He's my kid's godfather, and we're mm-hmm. really helping each other. There's no way he could have made it home with all his luggage in frigid weather without some assistance, and there's no way I was going to spend the night in that place. So as I was knowing that I had to wait a few hours, it was just perfect for me to fill that time being very present and doing that show. And it was so pure of any of the nonsense, any of the heartache and the contrast. That was amazing. Fast forward, where I realized I will not take this anymore was when I completely disagreed with the financial decision that the kid's father was very stubborn about, that basically could be translated in, this money means more than you guys. I'll just say
okay.
in a nutshell. And mm-hmm. you guys meaning I'm in that too. Okay? Because mm-hmm. I did not pay the rent this month because I'm not in my apartment.
Right.
But since October and all the kit, the food, the utilities, all the stuff that the kids need, whatever, I'm doing it. And I'm hustling for work. And I'm an independent film. Like, what the hell? Okay? So it's like none of these things add up. And it's 3 degrees outside. When it dawned on me, something inside of me just emerged of that time. And this is why listening to you just now really impacted me more than you'll ever know. When you said just now, when you get to that point of no more, and I'm on medication, and I was on the verge of a panic attack. If I wasn't on medication, and if I didn't have the higher purpose of having to take care of somebody who needed me, meaning I had to help my friend who uses a wheelchair because there's no way that he could get from point A to point B on his own in 3 degree weather.
Right.
Otherwise, I swear I would have been in the psych ward because that's how big the internal break was.
Mm.
But my higher self knew be of service. And we just did a great radio show. And then all of a sudden we went from that experience to, oh my God, this is being presented to me. And this has been my Achilles heel my whole life. You don't have worth or value.
Mm.
So it's literally my whole life. Okay. And I'm no victim. That's just what it is. It literally was that issue in the format of this narrative was being played out to me on such a grand scale. And I said, this tells me the message that I'm getting is that my life has no value, that money, and we're talking $200. We're talking not a lot. We're talking a few hundred dollars, okay? That's what made it so chronic for me.
Mm.
We're talking manageable money. We're not talking like stupid, impossible money. We're talking doable. If you get into positive action and positive thinking and you let go of negativity and stubbornness and resistance, God will show you a way. But
right.
If you don't, God will say, well, you know what you're doing. Bye. So and I don't blame God or source or whatever you want to say. I said, this is showing me, the message I'm getting is that this money has more value than me. And it's late. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. And it's 3 degrees outside. And the only way for me to get to the train station was on foot. No way, there's just no other way for me to really get there. It's an eight block walk. And I started to hyperventilate. I'm like, oh no, damn it. Oh no, damn it. And I know what this is because when I had an incident with my son the day after Christmas, I had a panic attack because that was a very, it's just been a rough 2 years, but it's just really been testing my mettle lately. And I go to the bathroom because I don't want the kids to see me like that. And when you get into that state, and those of you that have experienced anxiety attacks or panic attacks, you know what I'm talking about. You have to do everything just to hold it together. Even going to use the restroom takes a lot of cognitive thinking. And I'm literally holding on to the sink. And you can't see. Sometimes you really can't see. I couldn't see. And I was shaking. I finally managed to get out of the bathroom. But it was full on at that point. And I'm struggling to put on my boots. I'm wearing all these layers, earmuffs, hat, a scarf, a heavy down jacket, a backpack that I refuse to do the suitcase thing, pressing, so I do the backpack thing so that I don't feel so whatever. And also I needed my hands free because I had to help somebody with a lot of bags and a wheelchair in frigid weather, so I knew. And it was so cumbersome to be in that panic state. And when my older son went to hug me to say, are you okay? Just him hugging me, I started to convulse. I'm like, okay, now I'm freaking convulsing, and I have to go out and do this. And there, and my other son is just like, Mommy, are you okay? Mommy, don't go. And I'm like, okay, oh my God. And it's late. At this point, it's like 11 o'clock at night. So I have to go. And that message of no more, I will no longer accept the message that my life has no value. That was that something just snapped inside of me. So what you were saying just now, I can't even tell you, is so absolutely profoundly affecting me beyond belief. And their father walks down the hall and closes the door to the bedroom. I literally stumbled out of the apartment because I couldn't breathe. Then I'm in 3 degree weather. So what would have normally taken me 10 minutes took 20 minutes because it was just so cold, and I'm just bundled up and I have this heavy backpack on my back. And then he's still delayed, and I'm in Penn Station in New York City. Penn Station, any station in New York City after 11 o'clock at night, it's like, remember that there was a song that came out, I think in the 80s. The freaks come out at night. Well, yeah, the freaks come out at night. Remember that? The freaks come out at night. Yes, girl. I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Bubble protection. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. So finally, we dealt with it took a long time. By the time we got to his apartment, it was probably 1 in the morning. And I just, like, passed out on his couch, and the heat wasn't really working. So I was literally, I had so many layers, and I had a robe, and I had, like, 3 blankets. And it just really made me think of the poor homeless people. There's a few that have no choice but to be out there, even when it's like this. I mean, I literally put it this way, it was the most, this experience is the most benign and elevated of what could be.
Right.
It's like when I've had a couple of cancer scares, and when I've had biopsies, or if I had a little minor surgery to remove a lump or whatever, which I've gone through all of that over the years, it's the most benign of something that could be horrendous. Mm-hmm. But it's enough of a taste for you to appreciate.
Right.
That's enough of a taste for you to appreciate. Then that was Saturday. Then Sunday, I have a post-production session where my co-producers literally just gave, it was good, it was tough love, but I'm like, oh, they have no idea what I went through last night. But I had a lot of tough love. I actually posted a picture on Instagram. I was on the floor. I was just on the floor. I'm going on the floor now. Going on the floor. Going on the floor. And they were basically claiming my value, producer and a filmmaker. And we're in the middle of not everybody's agreeing with everybody. So I had to come up with a solution. I came up with one, but it was a bit of a battle. It was a beautiful battle. It was a creative battle. It was a loving battle, but nonetheless, it was a battle. But it all worked out because I figured out a solution. But that just had me. I mean, we were joking. I'm like, I'm on the floor. And then I see my editor slash co-producer slash very good friend take a picture. I'm like, oh, that's cute. So that picture that he took of me on the floor is what I posted on Instagram. So that just wore the hell of me out. But I'm just focusing on the better feeling place. The better feeling place. And feeling just a little bit better and feeling safe and feeling loved and feeling taken care of, because that's just basic human 101, humanity 101. Mm. So that was Sunday. Yesterday was Monday. Everything turned around because my focus was on, I made the decision that my life does have value. I am the only one, we are the only ones that can make that claim, that can stake that claim. And it might mean being a pioneer of your life and being in that covered wagon. And that's a rough trail, but that's the only trail, because it's by your decree, not by somebody else's energetic imposition or stubbornness, that the price you pay is to feel that you have no value or you have less value.
Right.
So I got myself together. I got to my apartment, which doesn't feel like my apartment anymore. So I'm not really digging the energy, but I needed to take care of a few things. I needed a shower. I could shower here at my friend's place, but I just feel like, let me just, you know what I mean? Like, let me just be the least intrusive guest, blah, 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 blah. So let me just take a shower. Let me do my laundry. Let me get some work done. Let me do this, that, and the other. And on Friday, I was recommended for a very prestigious cooking assignment that a friend of mine doesn't want to do. And so I was in the running for that. I wasn't really thinking about it. I just planted the seeds and kept it moving. And very interesting how I forgot my phone. I left it at my friend's apartment. And it makes so much sense because I just needed to disconnect.
Right.
So I can check my messages from a landline, which I did. I can check my email from my iPad or my laptop, which is in my apartment, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. And I was able to make a meal for my son. And while all that is going on, I get the email saying that I'm going to get this casting assignment. And there's a special event at the location that hired me. Would I like to go?
Wow.
And I'm like, yes. Thank God I did my hair. Let me blow it out. Let me blow it up. Where's the makeup? So I called up my friend, said, Mom is going to be, and it's cute because I made dinner in the crock pot for us. So said, dinner's in the crock pot. See you later. Mama got to seal the deal. And this was at the Guggenheim Museum, which,
ooh,
if you haven't been to, I will take you. Which
I
is
haven't.
But it's a very famous museum, which I'm sure you've heard of. The building's designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, and it houses some of the most beautiful contemporary art. And it's a New York institution.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who knew that they have a theater in that space? So it's kind of like this New York secret where they're for their members, and we're talking, this is like old New York, they have lots of money. Well, they'll have like this like insider series. So last night was a presentation, excerpts of work from this new show called Jerry Springer, the opera. It was written and performed in the UK, and this is going to be the New York premiere.
Oh my God.
It's going to be so good. Like it's going to be so, because it sounds so cheesy, but the guy from London, who is the writer and the composer, it really is such a statement of what's happening today. And he started writing it in 2000. They actually showed it on the BBC. They did a broadcast of it. I guess it did really well in London. Highly acclaimed. So when the BBC broadcasted it, because it's very irreverent when it comes to God and the Holy Family, where God actually is a character in this. It's really fun. It's like, you know how South Park did Jesus? Kind of along those lines. But brilliant. Brilliant.
Wow.
So in the history of the BBC, this broadcast of this show, Jerry Springer, the opera, got the most complaints filed for blasphemy. So all these, it's not
wow.
funny, all these religious right-wing groups. So with everything that's happening in the world, this piece of theater has never been more relevant. Yeah. So it was a symposium and then excerpts, and some major Broadway hitters were there. And there was a ticket waiting for me at the box office. I was in a house seat, like I'm a celebrity.
Wow.
I ran into somebody who's best friends with the husband of the guy who hired me, which was a good look. And then I left afterwards because I wanted a Cinderella moment. You know what I mean? Like, I have the script and things to read today, and we have a meeting 2:00, and the project I'm working on, it's a very controversial, it's experimental, but it's this another British artist who's doing an experiential theatrical piece that is very much involving the audience. The audience is actually characters in it, and it's a self-help group for people addicted to pornography. And it's called Hello. And I'm like, Mom, I'm catching your show at the Guggenheim, but you can't go. And it's called,
right.
Okay, whatever. But you know what? But because it's controversial, it's going to get a lot of press.
Right.
And they often don't do full productions there. They'll do like a dance concert. They'll do this and that. But this is one of the few theatrical productions that they're doing. And it runs for like a week in March. We'll start casting it in February, but we're going to start prepping it. Today's the first day that I'm officially going to start working on it once I have this meeting. But it's called Prurience, and that's a word. It must be a very Victorian word, Prurience, which I've never heard. You know the word? Of course you do.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Jane Austen. Okay. And welcome to the Some of You Show with Jane Austen and Liz Ortiz. Okay. Sister Jane Austen. She's all of that. She's all of that, people. Alisa is all of that. So I never heard that. I said, okay, of course you heard of that word. And I said to myself, I know Alisa knows this word. So that's what it's called. So I'm excited. It's controversial, but it's supposed to be very, very funny. And I forget the name of the artist, but the person who hired me, who I met at this event last night that he invited me to, said he's kind of like the Taylor Mack of the UK. So that's a lot of gender switching. And I took a peek at on his website, and he works dressed better than me. That's for damn sure. But this artist isn't a drag queen, but a performance artist who will go into drag, but I think is gender neutral. I'm not even sure. I'm like, okay, so one of the things I have to ask in the meetings, like, what pronouns are we using? Just so that
Right, you have to do that, right?
Like, you have to. Like, I'm not even joking. So the fact of the matter is, from Saturday evening, being in the street, feeling that I had to animalistically claim my value. That's why I was convulsing. It was so primal. So primal. I'm like, no, I have, like, in my mind, like, no, that, no, that, no, this, no more. No more. And then shifting to not having my phone yesterday because the kid's father called me like 3 times. Oops. Too bad. Too bad. And the divorce center, which is starting to deal with my paperwork, acknowledged that they got my information when I was at the apartment on Saturday when all this was going down. I had to ask him for a copy of our marriage certificate because I needed to take a picture of it. So maybe that's why this came to this head, so to speak.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
So, yeah, oh, of course, because this is the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of the end. And to all of a sudden, so that was late Saturday. Now it's Monday. It's 7 o'clock. I'm in the audience at this beautiful theater seeing this very exclusive event about this show that's about to open off Broadway. And my life changed. There you go. And I'm looking at all the abundance around me. I mean,
that's
just
fantastic.
For three of the society chicks, like, sitting in the row next to me with their outfits, probably, I'm not even exaggerating, it was probably $30,000 worth of clothes just on, like, 2 or 3 people, like, next to me. Because I'm like, okay, I know the shoes. I know, okay, that's Burberry. Okay, that's Chanel. Okay. But very understated. It's the difference between like a Kardashian opulence and like old New York. It's very understated, but you can tell, as opposed to flashy.
Wow.
And
right.
I'm like, damn.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Unbelievable. On 180, just unbelievable, unbelievable. Mm. And I feel like this is the beginning of the beginning. So to hear you speak to our caller, already over time, but I don't care. To hear you speak to our caller, I don't care. No, because we're having such a moment, girl. To hear you speak, I'm like, oh, my God, amen. And the fact that your eloquence, your confidence, you know, I'm sure we'll talk more about it on Thursday show. I want to know more specifically about your numerology workshop that you had. But it's just beautiful. But it's really what you were saying. It's all about claiming what's acceptable and what isn't, to say no more and just acknowledge that you have value, because we all have value.
Right.
That's it. And if you start with that, you can only go up from there.
Right.
I thank you. I thank you for being so fabulous with our callers today. With our caller today, felt like callers. With our caller today, and with the really appreciate it. So, is there anybody waiting for us? I know we're over time, but I spent a lot of time talking.
No, we're good. Good.
Okay, perfect. All right, well, let's sign off then. Yeah, that was so. Thank you. Like, really, like, I listen to you like I'm a listener. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, I'm like, yes, you're right. Preach.
I have my moments.
Yeah.
I have my moments.
Well, you have them more than you, sweetheart. You have them more than you realize. And I think it's so cool that woman is starting this community, because you probably will be, on the roster for that, which is great. So.
Maybe.
Yay.
Maybe. Different part of town.
We'll see what happens.
I was just happy to be in that environment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just to be in that environment and to express your gifts, present your gifts, just to be you.
Yeah.
Be a service.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's so
great.
Yeah. I want to hear a specific detail on Thursday. Are you okay with us doing while I'm in this space, 9 o'clock is better because that's around the time that my friend goes to work.
Can we just do
I'll let you know because I never know. See, that's the whole thing. I never know where I'm going to be. I don't know where I'm going to be next week. I don't know.
No, you're fine.
So so we're just you know, on a. So I know Thursday. I know we're going to be Thursday. Talk about keeping things simple. I have to embrace that. You know, talk about keeping things simple. So Thursday's show will be at 9 a.m. If you guys, so we'll just sign off. So if you guys want to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And as I said, this particular show will be on the air this coming Thursday at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Alisa, Sister Alisa, thank you for a wonderful a wonderful show. And we'll come up with a signature tagline for 2018 at some point. We don't know what it is.
Yeah, we're fine.
So in the meantime, love you so much. Take care.
Love you. Take care. Bye, y'all.
Bye.